Last weekend, an email from a guy named Keith Peterson sent me down memory lane. In the summer of 1979, while Russ and I were living in Madison, Wisconsin, I raised a baby blue jay I called Ludwig. He was a dear little guy who taught me a lot about blue jays. One morning, after Ludwig was getting pretty good at flying, while I was pouring my Rice Krispies, out popped a bright red wind-up propeller toy, about 2 or 2.5 inches in diameter. I grabbed a rubber band, wound up the propeller, and shot it up in our dining room. Instantly, Ludwig flew up and grabbed it in midair and carried it in his beak straight to me. That quickly became a game, with him tirelessly bringing the propeller back to me like a well-trained golden retriever so I could send it right back up again. I'd rescued Ludwig from a dog, a golden retriever no less, when he was a young fledgling. He was perfectly healthy and strong, destined to be released into the wild, and so as soon as he could flit about at all, I took him out to our apartment building's small backyard every day so he could spend minutes and then hours at a stretch figuring out the big world. He needed to develop his flight skills in a place where he could land in bushes and trees, not on tables and chairs. Soon I was playing our propeller game with him outside. Our apartment building was sandwiched between a huge brick building and a smaller building similar to ours. A couple of big shade trees were near the back, and a thick hedge ran along one side of the yard and the alley behind. I had to aim the propeller straight up to keep it away from the trees or our roof. One warm sunny day I misjudged, and the little propeller ended up on the roof. Ludwig flew straight up for it, but the moment he alighted on the roof, he collapsed, tilting to one side, one wing drooping low, his crest straight up, his beak wide open. I called and called, but he didn't move. I'd never seen anything like this and thought he'd had a stroke, heart attack, or something equally dire. Russ wasn't home, so on sheer adrenaline, I ran into the storage room where our landlord kept a ladder, lugged it out, and climbed to the top rung. Ludwig was out of reach and still not responding to my voice. I'm terribly afraid of heights, but without even thinking, I started crawling up on the roof itself. The moment I touched him, he shook his head, flew down to a shrub, and started preening. Now that the danger had passed, my fear of heights kicked in at full force. The last 8 inches or so between my outstretched hand and the propeller felt insurmountable, so I left it on the roof. I was sweating and shaking by the time I made it to the ground and plopped down on all fours in the grass. Within a minute or so, Ludwig flew back to the roof, grabbed the propeller, and brought it to me, still on my knees. Ludwig seemed fine, but I was scared that there was something seriously wrong with him, so I called my treasured friend Malcolm McDonald, who worked for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and had handled and even lived with baby corvids. When I described the situation, he chuckled and said Ludwig had just been sunning. Or sunbathing. He said that while birds are sunning, they seem to enter a trance-like state and assured me that there was absolutely nothing wrong with him. He mentioned that he, too, had thought a bird was on death's door the first time he saw it sunning. When birds sun, they raise their head, neck, and back feathers to allow the sun to reach their skin. They often open their beak, which probably helps maintain the proper internal body temperature. Sunlight on the skin stimulates vitamin D production. Sunlight on the exposed uropygial gland just above the tail stimulates preen oil production, and the light and heat probably get any lice and mites scooting about. The moment a bird stops sunning, it retreats to a secluded spot and preens vigorously, combing and pulling out debris and ectoparasites. At the time Ludwig and I had our backyard adventure, he'd never been outdoors without me, so I know he'd never sunned before. My guess is that touching the warm, sunny roof elicited the behavior unbidden. But being in that trance-like state, sunning birds are extremely vulnerable to predators, so I suspect birds must quickly figure out how and where to do it safely. Anyway, on Sunday, Keith Peterson sent me a photo of a blue jay sunning on his Eden Prairie deck. He wrote, "I'm thinking it's either injured, sick, or maybe just basking in the sun." So he had way more insight about this cool behavior than I did when I first saw it. On Monday, he sent another photo from a different angle. I was thrilled to see Keith's photos because even though I've seen more blue jays sunning than any other species, I've never managed to get a picture. Oddly enough, the only photos I have of sunning birds in my own yard are of a robin, brown thrasher, and chickadee. Those photos and Keith's are on my blog entry today. I'm always delighted to hear from listeners and readers. Missives like Keith Peterson's remind me of things other people might be wondering about too. Thanks so much, Keith. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.